The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
And right now we're stepping into our interview with Mr. Mustafa, who is a spoken word artist. And we're talking about the beauty of the spoken word. And he is the Bacchanal Leaf 2024 Bars Poetry Slam winner. All right, good morning. I think we have him back online. Mustafa, are you there?
I am here, I'm here.
Oh, unfortunately. Sorry about that disconnection. But welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM. And you are the winner of the Bacchanal Leaf 2024 Poetry Slam winner.
Yes, I am. Lisa, good morning to you and your audience members in Radio Land. First of all, good morning. Can I answer the question? How are you?
And
yes, I am the Bacchanal Leaf Poetry Slam Bar competition winner. Two months in a row this time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So tell me, what got you into doing spoken word? And is it as weird, quote-unquote, as people, you know, make it out to be?
Weird.
So, like, not many people are, what's the word I'm looking for, very into the spoken word, meaning that, you know, it's for people who are, quote-unquote, nerds, very in touch with their feelings, you know. So tell me, do you think it is as, how to put it, weird? That's the best word I could put it. You know, is it really like that, or do you have a different feeling on it?
I would replace the word weird with vulnerable.
Mm.
I think it leaves you in a very vulnerable space, opening yourself up on stage. So for me, what got me into spoken word is when I was younger, my mom used to make me spell every sign I would see when we would walk through town. And then she used to read a lot of books as well. And so I would sit with her when she was reading and stuff. And performance-wise, I think what really got me into it was I'm trying to remember. It was something I saw on TV, and it was like, I want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was real cool. Like, just hearing the words and seeing how he commanded the space. I was like, yeah, I feel I could do that too. And so I did my first piece. Do I ask me to recite it? I can't remember.
Well, you know, I was about to ask. Okay, so can you do at least the one that you did for the finals? But well, that's a little later on. But tell us about your process and how, you know, what was really the bug that bit you to get into this?
Yeah, so the bug that bit me would have been that performance I saw on HBO used to have this poetry show.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they would have probably liked a Kanye West and Most Def Poetry, something, I think it was on HBO. So I was watching that show and I was like, you know, I could do that too. And then...
Or was it on BET? Because BET has a spoken word piece. Oh, I'll get the name for you in just a bit.
I don't know if it was BET. And I really, really want to believe it was HBO. But I could be wrong. I stand to be corrected. But this is not here or there. And then bringing it back home, you know, Ataclan and Curious Ringo. To me, all of those things are spoken word, like Shriek and all, right? But they just add, like, rhythm and music to it. But it's all in the same vein of spoken word, even our calypso, in a large tent, to just speed up and add these. So all these things to me are like spoken word. And so after seeing that episode, I decided to try to do it for myself. And ever since, I've been doing it. I got into contact with Kyle Skeeto Amos. He had an open mic show that used to happen every month in South.
Mm-hmm.
601 Liquid Lounge. So, and I would start there. I would have seen the first person I ever saw perform locally in relation to the stuff I saw on TV was a guy by the name of Gary Acosta. And I was like, mind blown, because he was aggressive, he was assertive, like, he was very articulate. And I was like, yeah, this is what I came here for. And I just never turned back after that. And that could have been like 2006, eh?
Mm-hmm.
So almost 20 years now. Been.
So you see, it's a space to be vulnerable, and that would entail tackling very hard topics. What are some of the topics that you've come across in your journey as a spoken word artist?
For me personally, it's been therapy, as well as, you know, domestic abuse, relationship issues, heartbreak. I use all these things as a way to try to reparent or heal myself, in a sense. I mean, do the actual work for sure, but writing out how you feel, your feelings, is a big way to, like, cleanse the palate, you know? So that's where the vulnerability of it comes in for me.
Have you been to, I should ask how old you are. I just wanted to find out if you did like school poetry competitions. Did it develop there as well? Or was it later on after leaving school you got into this?
So I did Suvol. I was in TV production in Suvol, and there was a teacher there by the name of Mitchell Josiah, as well as MT Masalwazi. He runs a spoken word, I believe, organization that they deal with. Let me try to remember the name. I can't recall it now, but he's in charge of a spoken word organization, MT Masalwazi. And I would have been in Suvol, the Suvol circuit. There's a public speaking. And so I was asked to do public speaking in the competition. And in return, if you won, you got a chance to have the course of your study free of charge. So you would have won a scholarship to do your course. So I did the public speaking competition, and then I got the scholarship to go on. And then I continued after that. Mr. Josiah, he had a school in his area that did the spoken word every month outside of the Silver Circuit. On his own merit, he would do it for the community. I was also part of that community in Mobile Avondale, and every year, he would have the competition, and then I participated in that, and I would have placed and won that competition, and then from strength to strength it grew, and I continued in that vein, like working on my writing, working on my pieces, and just growing from there.
Now, I know that, as you say, this is a complete circuit. Do you plan on entering international competitions? Because there's a huge documentary now on Netflix about one particular poetry, public speaking circuit that is very intense. And it leads to, as you said before, scholarships and so on to the prestigious schools out there. Are you thinking of, you know, traveling over into those waters?
I mean, I would love to. I haven't paid much attention to it because I don't know if my focus is on to really delve into it more than as much as I'm doing now, except I shouldn't say that because I'm really doing work to try to currently working on a spoken word album. But competition-wise, nah. I think I would just like the platform to express. I do believe I have some like pieces that could transcend the shows, because a lot of the pieces I write would be topical and very relative to Trinidad and Tobagonians and people in the Caribbean diaspora. I have a few that could, you know, be relatable worldwide. So yeah, I think once I get some more information on that, I can definitely look into it and see if that's something I could do.
And for the local circuit here, I know that First Citizens has their competition, the National Poetry Slam, which you are the winner. Yes.
No.
Well, you participated in that.
I participated, but that was a few years ago. I came third, but I participated in that competition, yeah.
So do you think that they need a stronger circuit here, more competitions, more attention paid to that particular genre? So that, you know, besides the fact that it is therapeutical and so it gives an opportunity for young people to really express themselves and raise their level of confidence. Do you think that that should be a stronger presence?
I do. And I think the work that has been done at the Two Cents Movement would have been doing great works in that vein to make sure Darren Sandy, Idris Salim, Ariel, a few people been doing like works in that regard to make sure to the question that you asked, it is being expanded. It is, you know, tailoring to the youths to get them involved in more I guess, expansive opportunities through spoken word. So I don't, it can be, I think it can be stronger, but the work is being done. And so I feel like they already have the target in mind that they want to. Mm-hmm. And the individuals who also work in the space, you know, Danica Thomas, who is the curator of the Baz Bacanoli Poetry Slam, she's one of them who's doing great work. So individuals are taking up the mantle and expressing and expanding the notoriety of it. Mm-hmm. So I believe in that essence, they're in good hands for now. Obviously, there are things that can always be improved. Mm-hmm. And so that is on the cusp of happening.
All right, so let's take a minute to take in one of your performances. This would be from the First Citizens National Poetry Slam. And then when we come back, we could talk a little bit more about your album and the process you're going through right now. All right?
Oh, for sure, no problem.
So TNT, this is Mustafa from the First Citizens National Poetry Slam. This was his contribution.
Umi, which roughly translates to mother in Arabic, was the strongest woman I knew. She was my first god, my first I love you, my first best friend, my first teacher, my first counselor, my first... By now you get the picture. She was number one for most things in my life. Even the person to hate. I was two. Young to remember when my father left. Right when he did, she already had four kids, pregnant with one more, all boys. And in a world where we need men to help raise the gifts given, when we wanted to be wrapped in love, she was the only parent present. I was 6 seconds into my favorite cartoon when I heard her knocking. Saw love rushing to repossess everything she said she'd share when she signed those papers of commitment till death. Do you? Injustice. They took her house, her land, her car, her savings, some of her pride, but none of her resilience. I was 7 hours into our new home when I saw how love makes you fight hard. The fate of old scriptures when we have these New Testament. She converted to Islam to be with him, but with him gone, she cursed Allah's name. For crying out loud, you could hear how she screamed and ate her pain. I was 10. Days away from celebrating my big brother's birthday when I saw how love brings you to your knees and leaves you stuck in a prayer position. She prayed at his side until he died in June 1996. Kidney failure. I was 10. Days away from celebrating my birthday when I saw how love shows you to live your life as a prayer on the lips of God. November 1996. My little brother died. Kidney failure. I was 11. Weeks into learning to live with less because two brothers move out, two brothers moved on, and I know it goes sound crazy, but in the midst of this, if you were to ask Umi, you okay? She go smile and say, I bless. I was 12, going on 13, when I understood the word suicide for the first time. Bored in my room, feeling like I had the end of my rope, staring at the ceiling. In an attempt to take life in my own hands, I only get one step farther away from healing. I was 14, waiting to exhale when I saw how love literally takes your breath away when he tried to discipline his insecurities. I was 14 minutes too late when I saw how love hammered its belief into your head until you got the point and he nailed it. I was 14 when I stopped by Bull. She flooding the room with tears and he moving like two animals with an iron on skin. It is look like silk, only slower in the process when it burns. And he crying love, you know, my stepfather crying love, but he didn't know a thing about pairing up. I was 14 when I chop up a man for my mother and she was no. Don't do him that. I was 15 when I found out how infectious love could be. And sometimes you had to live with it forever and more. You ever see a rose wilt? I saw. I was 16 when she said she'd rather die than live with that thing and me. I was 16 when she died from complications of a broken heart, but on paper I go say HIV. I was 16 when she said all I ever do was love that man, you know. your father, and you look just like him. It take me 17 years, because now I'm 33 and today years old, telling my story in my first therapy session.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we will take a moment. Mustafa, are you there?
I am here.
Fantastic work.
Thank you.
Fantastic work. So tell me, well, this is a very personal story, no doubt. And okay. I guess from writing it, you did a lot of introspection as to how you're really going to bring it out. Tell us about that process. What was it like? The ups and downs?
Painful writing experiences, let me tell you. One of my most painful. It took me, I think, like 3 nights to write this piece and a lot of water because I was crying every time my pen touched the paper to write the words. So everything was very 100% real. And then to relive it in the moment of writing it and then trying to express it. I'm wondering if I'm able to be vulnerable enough to get the piece out, because it was more for me to get it out of the system than for anybody else, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And even now, so I only performed that piece one time. And that's one of those pieces that's just like a one performance.
Yeah, so, because the amount of energy that goes into it,
no doubt.
So let's.
It was very therapeutic because the name of the piece is therapy, and I started therapy during the COVID, and so in one of the exercises was to write how you feel, and so this was the fruit of that labor.
The result of that, amazing, and I would think from people listening to the poetry and listening to your performance, connect in different ways at different points of the story, and it gives a kind of a blanket feeling, meaning that you're not alone in the experience. You know, there are ways to recover and to, you know, like you said, you know, understanding who you are set aside from the experience and actually coming forward to do something as amazing as this.
Yeah, it is.
So tell us more about the album that you're preparing. You talked about that a little while ago. What are some of the dream collaborations that you have? And I know you don't want to give out too much on it, but, you know, what step or stage are you at in producing the album?
So I've finished the demos in terms of the pieces I want for the album. The name of it is called Making Elephants, Volume 1. One of the collaborations I do have is with an artist by the name of Rion Elborn. So far, I have him on board on one of the pieces. He's also one of the producers on the album itself. It's 8 pieces for the album. I have all written out and, well, demos recorded. So this year I'm turning 38. And so as a birthday gift to myself, I said I would do the album and release it, as well as to make sure my thing is special. So yeah, you can look out for that. Between September, November, it should be out.
And if you had this is the opportunity now because you're live on radio. If you had the one dream collaboration, like a local artist that you would like to do some a mixed piece with, who would it be? And probably you could put out the call right now.
That's a real on the spot kind of question.
I know, but there's so many, like you said, so many spoken word artists that could fit that bill. But yeah, I'm putting you under pressure.
Spoken word alone, I was thinking, like, I would love to bring spoken word. I mean, spoken word is already in soca. I would love to bring that involved. I think Ulfun would be somebody I could say I work with. As well as Poutine from Sandy Grande, the Grande Youth. I would love to do a collaboration with him.
And
I do have a collaboration with Rion Elborn, so, and to me, he's like a goat or one of these best, noteworthy, romantic I just read chromatics. I read like chromatics wordplay.
Chromatics, yes.
Chromatics is like a wizard when it comes to words.
When you think it's one meaning, when you hear it a second time, like, oh, that's what you're saying.
That's what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited to listen to his music. A guy by the name of Curious Ringo. I think that would be it. I think, chromatics, fun, Kutin.
Yeah, that sounds like a very, very concise, very powerful album that can come out of that. Well, Mustafa, thank you so much for taking the time out to, you know, talk with us. And here is to greater things coming out for me, because they're always saying that, you know, you're looking for young people or, you know, well, you know what I mean. I don't want to say, you said 38. But we are all part of that process, you know, that would bring out a positive message that is desperately needed in Trinidad and Tobago at this point in time.
Oh, for sure.
You know, and at least to, as you say, be vulnerable about the topics that do affect a lot of people in Trinidad and Tobago, and to give them the space to make sense of it. You know, and we're grateful for Shantwells like yourself that would, you know, take the mantle of, you know, coming down to that task.
I appreciate it. Thank you for your time and having me.
No problem. Actually, there's a call coming in. Let's see if this person would like to speak with you. You want to hold the line?
Oh, sure, no problem.
All right, let's take one call. Hello, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
I'd like to congratulate the artist and best wishes to him and move on.
Thank you.
My son is also one of those artists, so best wishes.
Thank you so much for your call. 627-3223-625-2257 is the number. So you can call and give your encouragement or send a message, and I will deliver it to Mustafa after the show. Thank you so much for joining me. And when you're finished with your album, you know what you can do. You can give us a call, and we will talk about it. Say that again, sorry.
Actually, I come to debut it right
there. Nice. I love it. Thank you so much, Mustafa. Enjoy the rest of your day. Take care.
Happy day you want.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.